This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, your host. Joining me for this is going to be a match reaction, raw,
angry. Off the cuff.
Joining me, Mr. Chris Bird and Mr. Phil Shaw. Welcome.
Hello.
Since Villa don't have to play for a long time,
again.
and I'm off for a couple of days when I'd be editing, we thought we'd get this out quickly and then do a proper show. And get that out probably midweek. But we're freshly back from Villa Park, where Spurs came to town and scored 4 to leave us with a 4-game consecutive losing streak, and now twiddling our thumbs for a couple of weeks, mulling it over before the
trip to Leicester and then Norwich at home, yeah, before a mental May period.
If you've never listened to the show before, this isn't a typical show. This is just to fill in the weekend before the main show, because there's actually no rush to get the main show out. And we wanted to wait until after the embargo from the fan consultation group meeting so we can talk a little bit more freely about all the issues surrounding Villa, the chats we had with Purslow about the transfer outlook in the summer, and just the general picture of where the club actually see themselves next season and in the general scheme of things. Right, Spurs. This was never going to be easy. Let's face it. They were 4th in the league.
Flying on form as well.
Hammering teams, scoring regularly. And the only lineup difference was really just a return. Now Ings is back. It was going back to formation. It was actually starting to show some signs of profit, wasn't it? The Watkins Ings up front with Coutinho kind of playing in between them in that kind of front three.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the team sheet popped up at 4:30 and you thought, yeah, but pretty glad to see we've reverted back to what was working during the 3-game winning streak. And then you looked at the bench and thought, oh yeah, it's about as strong as we can be at the moment. So there was a felt positive going into it.
Now, in something for the weekend, we said who would we poach if we had to get one of their players to improve our first 11. I enthused over Son.
We both did. We both love him.
That's why he's the captain of my fantasy football team. That's why, we know he's a good player, put it that way. And the thing I like about Son, let's start from the end, shall we? And
do it in reverse order.
Do it in reverse. The thing I like about him is he sniffs out danger. He's always a life threat. And when he smells blood, fucking hell, he delivers.
He's a clinical bastard, isn't he?
Yeah. I say he's the most underrated player in the Premier League, but miles.
100%. I mean, it doesn't get the plaudits of all the usual suspects.
He's world class.
People might say it's that kind of systemic racism or whatever.
I think the fact that he plays for Tottenham as well probably doesn't help him at the moment.
Yeah. So all of those above reasons in the mix, but and also probably the level of his international team as well. So he doesn't get that kind of profile. which sometimes
and
helps.
And he's obviously not been doing it in the Champions League the last couple of years.
Yeah, but no, it's just you'd love a player like that who is always sniffing from the first minute to the last. And if he gets a scent, then you know it's
well, you're always in the game with a player like that, Daniel. And even if you're playing crap. Kind of like how the first half went. They didn't do anything, but he got one chance and took it.
And when he sees a claret and blue shirt, ooh, it sends him into overdrive.
His brain goes banker.
Spoiler alert, what was the stats at the end? 3 shots, 3 on target, 3 goals. See you.
Yeah. See you later. Thanks for the hospitality.
70-odd minutes, I'm sitting down. Cheers.
But anyway, so the first goal sets the tone, but then Villa kind of kicked into life. But something I spotted in the first 5 minutes, and something we've touched on before, and it's something that kind of just made me feel this isn't going to work out. This current team will not ultimately work out. So the summer is key. It's just the physicality, the size, Spurs player was 2-3 inches taller across the board.
Broader,
on average.
Quicker.
Were tougher. It stank a bit of that first half to me, was like a man's team playing a decent under 23s team who are pretty smart in possession.
What was like Liverpool against our team in the FA Cup last season?
Yeah, where the other team's like kind of bamboozling them, but ultimately, every time there's a 50-50, Spurs won it. Obviously, Kane and Son are on the same wavelength, and that showed so many times. I mean, hence the goals. When Villa did similar things, they might have mislaid passes or the runner wasn't running and the pass went forward without anybody chasing after it. Not on the same wavelength whatsoever. But it was the physicality that got me just quicker, stronger, and all on the same wavelength. And I'm thinking, ultimately, we won't beat teams like this.
Not consistently. You won't compete consistently with it.
I mean, you looked at what Arsenal did to us, and that was a controlled 1-0 win, and they suffocated us and snuffed us out because they shut down that zone in front of the back four. Spurs didn't.
Spurs got wise at half-time, didn't they? First half, we ran through Bentancur and Hjulberg in the middle of the park. And when we do that, you can see that's how Gerrard wants to play. It's very narrow, but when you play through that press, then you're onto the back four and we look good. But then they got.
But I was surprised why they didn't realise that, because they obviously Conte flagged it at half time, and they knew that Coutinho was just getting too much of the ball.
He ran the show
for
45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like if you're playing Villa at Villa Park, all you've got to do is you've got to close that space, that hole in front of their back four. They got wise to that quickly.
And then they got the second goal at the perfect time, really, and that killed the game and absolutely knocked the confidence, the stuffing out of the team. I think, when you've had a first half where you're kind of going in going, A, how are we not level? B, how are we not about 4-1 up? You're just expecting them going, well, they're going to either have a spell or they're going to get a chance. And then the first chance that popped up, they buried it, and you kind of thought, well, that's the game. And as much as, the most claret and blue tinted spectacles will say, we played really well, you kind of know how the footballing gods work. And you think, if you miss that many chances against a team that's got Kane and Son in, they'll get a chance and they'll take it. The fact that they did it to the extreme levels of clinicalness they did, I think, makes it a bit of a freak second half. But you can't say Villa didn't get what they deserved.
There was another narrative to that game, which I don't believe is true, because you got to give credit to what Villa were doing, and they were exploiting Spurs's, let's say, lack of homework. Was they got their early goal, which can happen, and then it's almost like they went all Italian. Because I'm looking at Conte and I'm thinking they've just gone Italian. They're letting Villa have the ball, which might be a discredit to Villa, as I've just said. I'm saying it's just one version of what you could say was what happened. And then, as I said to my friend at the end of the game, it's almost like they scored and then they thought, right, we're going to give you the ball, see what you can do for 45 minutes. And by the way, if you don't do anything, we're going to fuck you in the second half. So the halftime whistle went and they went, all right, lads, you're fucked. Second half kicks off, they score straight away.
That's
game over.
I mean, the first goal was very similar to the first goal away at Southampton. Big long ball up the top, not dealt with and just dispatched straight away. And it's such a shock, but at least this time, Villa did counter that with, effort. I mean, I almost lost count of the amount of chances in the first half. I mean, they came up against Lloris in World Cup winning form.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, the Italian narrative I've just given you, I don't think it's a full picture at all, because if you look at the interviews with Lloris and Son after the game, they admit to actually being blitzed and they had to make adjustments at halftime because they said since Conte has taken over at Spurs, they haven't experienced that much, that many shots against them.
No.
So give Villa credit where it's due. We did take it to them. But, I mean, the Ramsey save was incredible.
Incredible save.
Yeah.
Was it Coutinho's free kick where it looked like it was going in and he somehow kept it out, hit the bar post or whatever it was?
Right in the stroke of half-time, yeah.
Yeah, there's the Ings chance at the back post where if he hits the target, he scores. Watkins header, there's the Cash one where he saves well. Multiple chances.
Because when you're a goalkeeper and you start to build up those amount of saves, like really good saves, it starts to inspire you more and more. Right, I'm having a clean sheet here. These saves aren't going to nothing. I want a clean sheet at the end of this.
And he knows that, of course, if his attacking guys get a chance, they'll bury it and they'll kill the game for him.
Yeah.
And then they kind of saw out the last, half an hour embarrassingly easily, because Villa were just, you know, their confidence was just shot by that point. I think the belief was drained out of them by the second goal. By the third one, it was just like, you could see people leaving.
Just coming up, I mean, first goal was talked about, second goal, not great.
It was a good finish, to be fair.
It was a good finish, but Kane schooled Cash and Konsa just at the same time, drew them both in and just laid it off to Kovaleski, who had a very good game. He's a very impressive player, despite his hair colour.
Yeah.
But no, the third goal was the one that got me, because it was just so easy. The ball was to Kane in the halfway line. I mean, Kane's not going to do anything with it in the halfway line unless you rush in on him. Konsa rushed in on him, and you can just see he took a look over his shoulder, seen Son on the run, and just flicked it on for him. I mean, it's telepathic, those two. I mean, it's very hard to play against.
Yeah. Although at that stage, at 2-0, I turned to my friend and said, this has got 4-0 written all over it. And, you know, as Chris said, the football gods, if you miss that many chances, it's not your day, really, is it?
No.
And, you know, Lloris played a massive, you know, I would probably...
The best
say
goalkeeping
man of the match, I would say. In you know, Son's got a bloody hat trick, but I think if that game could have been over before Son started to, you know, it could have been 2-1 Villa before he put his second two in.
I'd actually go as far as to say, and this is over a long period of time, it's probably the best goalkeeping performance we've seen at Villa Park since that lad for Bristol City during that 10-game run. If you remember, where we had about 10 shots and he made 10 worldly saves in that game. We ended up winning it, but he was like unbelievable. He was about 16, 17-year-old goalkeeper. It was that sort of level. We just thought everything
I remember
we hit.
A really good Schmeichel display, the younger Schmeichel for Leicester. I think it was in the FA Cup. We played him in the league in the FA Cup very short space of time. Think it was the FA Cup. I mean, we won, but he was spectacular on that day, just in terms of shot stopping.
Mm-hmm.
But Lloris here, some of those saves, I mean, Ramsey couldn't, you always know when it's a good save, it's when the person who took the shot can't believe it, and you just see the disbelief in their face.
I bet you know, you thought, you take the first half as a positive, you think, well, what more could Villa have done? I don't think they could have done more. It's just one of those days where it ain't going to go in.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time you can sort of see, like we were talking about earlier, what if it works perfectly for the Gerrard tactic or the Gerrard formation. You see, there was a couple of times where the ball went from Dean all the way across the box and went to Cash, and Cash had the shot and he was unlucky twice. The midfield that we've maligned for months now, you know, played well in the first half. There was a couple of misplaced passes here and there, but overall they had the Spurs midfield, you know,
I think they were
shadows.
Allowed to. I think you can take that both ways, kind of. Yeah. I think when our guys are given time, space and the opportunity, like, let's be frank, most reasonably good players in the Premier League, they're going to cause problems, but Tottenham got wise to it, and I think we just...
They let us have the ball...
probably too much. They were a bit passive in the middle of the park.
In many areas. I mean, around the halfway line, they didn't care if we had the ball and in the first half, and that's why... that's what I was saying about that, the Italian narrative. It's like, let them have the ball.
And I think the fullbacks bombing on helped. I think the second half, you saw that for the negative side where Spurs had turned over the ball, hit us on the break and score. So there was two sides. And obviously, yet again, we've lost Luka Dinia to injury.
Yeah.
And what's his problem now?
Properly this time.
Probably a broken collarbone. That'll be his season done. That was actually, for 45 minutes, that was actually probably Dinia's best game in a Villa shirt as well so far.
Yeah, there was still a bit of, I mean, because he hasn't been in the team regularly, there was a bit of miscommunication on one or two overlaps. Yeah. But...
And there it is. is that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In that meeting, the fan consultation meeting, Purslow pretty much is giving Lang the thumbs up. But I think at the end of the season, you judge it. And from today's game, I'm just thinking, we have wasted money at this. If you judged it today, we've wasted money. We've given $30 million to a player that was announced in a Jamaican garden shed. And he's not $30 million's worth, is he, at all?
Nowhere near. There was a few occasions in the second. I mean, his miss at the end kind of summed up the afternoon in general.
Yeah.
But a few, two or three occasions, he had the ball around the penalty area. He thought either hit it or pass it, but just don't fuck about and run back into trouble.
Buendia.
I like him. I think there's loads of upside on him to come in the second season.
I like him as part of a good team.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% if he's somebody who's going to take the ball by the horns and be the reason why we win games consistently all the time and be like a major, major guy. I don't know if he's got that personality. That's my doubt, but I like him a lot technically.
Oh, yeah.
But has he got the mentality to be a real winner? And, you know, when he walks on the pitch, think, I am Villa's main man here and I'm going to take this game by the scruff of the neck. I don't know if he has that level and that's what's going to keep him from being world class or international class, because... Is he going to be a main man in... Let's just judge him on the Argentinian national team. Is he going to be a main man for Argentina, or is he just going to be a squad filler chap that comes in and out? We need him to be main man. I mean, for $30 million as well. He wants something for that money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ings today. I think he probably needs a run of games. You can cut him some slack there. But there was chances he should have scored at least
chances.
One.
There was the really clever free kick, wasn't there, from Coutinho, which no one saw happening.
Yeah.
At the top, you thought Danny Ings of last season... He's probably smashing that in the roof of the net. And the one at the back post.
And like clinically as well.
And then there's the one where it comes to him at the back post and he fluffs his lines and you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Ings is if you take out what his actual job is, scoring goals, put that in brackets, the rest of his performance, what you're not expecting him to do is actually very good. He was he was cutting, you know, he was actually doing defensive work up front. He was playing it through to players and everything else. He was playing in that hole where you think the Buendia player should play.
Yeah.
And it's maybe affecting his, if he's only there purely to score goals, he should be almost like poaching up front. He should be just sitting there waiting on it. And it's the amount of other work he's doing. It's not that you don't want to say that he's tired whenever it gets to him, but he's just maybe too much to think about.
Possibly. I mean, Dan, who I go to games with, he was sort of saying that you look at the team and there'll be questions asked about a lot of them. You know, after a 4-0 defeat, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you're going to evaluate it. But over the longer narrative, the game was just a snapshot of where we've been at for a long time. You know, most of the things we mention in podcasts, we're talking about every week, aren't we? And I think there's a few players who we have to now start looking at and going, they've had a lot of credit in the bank for quite a while for things they've done in previous seasons. Are there now big question marks next to them? I walked away from the ground today thinking, actually, yes. Even though we like them, there's big... And it was the first time I actually thought, big question mark about the manager. This isn't a Gerrard out rant before anyone piles in on it, but he's been here long enough to kind of implemented certain fundamentals that don't appear to be there yet. And if You can't, you know, you look at some of those players who we think might not be there in the summer. There's guys who could actually potentially go and play at bigger clubs than Villa individually, but collectively, yeah. He's not getting the best out of them. And that's on him and his staff.
There's arguments like, well, you know, Gerrard's got a system and he needs his own players to do it and these aren't the players. Well, we're here in the here and now here.
Exactly.
And
you make my, a system my criticism, that works with what you've got.
My criticism of Gerrard is you've got these players, find the best system to play these players.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
Because that whole midfield recently, I mean, Spurs let us have the ball today, but that whole midfield does not work with this fullbacks situation where they're the furthest, you know, sometimes our highest up the pitch attacking threat. It just leaves us far too vulnerable. And time, game after game, we're getting caught out. And that is our big vulnerability and the reason why we've lost games, because the fullbacks are too far up. And then suddenly the centre-backs are at shit creek covering too much and the defensive midfield is nowhere to be seen. You know, and our last gasp tackles are in the opponent's half. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there's 3-4 of the opposition marauding over the halfway line with a couple of centre-backs just to get through.
Yeah, I've said it a number of times for a while now, and I really do believe it.
That's
more,
on the more, Gerrard.
Yeah, the more I see it, it is on Gerrard, because it feels like philosophy football versus winning football. And at the moment, Villa are all about philosophy football, not winning football. We're ineffective, and it's like, it's all right to begin with if you think the first four games, yeah, when it clicks, blah, 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 but we're sort of getting towards the middle of April, and we're talking about the same things we've been talking about since, like, November. And it is a worry because, you know, you want to go into next season going, oh, this is the way we play. When it works, a little bit of tweaking, it'll work. And we've sort of tried to give them the benefit of the doubt and go, maybe it is one player, two players. I still think it actually potentially is, but
I don't think it is. You look at the profile of that team, it's not strong enough to consistently compete.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, because I think all of a sudden, every week that goes by, every match, we're asking bigger questions about players who have been big players for us. I'm talking Mings and Konsa, John McGinn. Douglas Luiz is the obvious question mark that I think every fan in the ground has a huge question mark and has had all season.
But to Luiz's credit, sorry, just to interrupt, to Luiz's credit, I mean, the thing after Spurs went 1-0 up, the thing that was frustrating the shit out of people in the ground was, this is after 5 minutes of Villa really going for it, and, you know, having Lloris pull off all these worldies, was all these Spurs players that started to lie down and roll around and... people getting off their seats, and if they could have pitchforks and storm the field, they would have. And in the second half, and the referee, again, I don't know.
Luiz picked the lad up, didn't he?
Luiz went over to him and just picked him up and, you know, got a round of applause for that. And it was like, yeah, exactly. Finally.
He gets it.
I mean, I was joking to my friend, I'm going to take a fishing rod to the games in future. So every time there's an opposition player, you know, lying on the floor, rolling around, just like... cast it off and then just lift him up back onto his feet.
And to be fair to the team, actually, first half, after the non-event at Wolves, especially in the first half, you could see they had a reaction to what Gerrard had said, and they were flying into tackles, and there was a bit of spice in the game, which we haven't really seen too much of, especially at Villa Park this year. They've been quite placid matches. And I think actually, because a lot of the Spurs lads were rolling around a lot, there was the very early one from Matty Cash, wasn't there, that there was a proper like enforcer tackle that was just like, leave your foot in, take a bit of the ball, a whole lot of the man. Mings had one as well. And because it was similar to the one a couple of weeks ago with Saka, it was strange that the thing that lifted the crowd and got the team going was actually the referee infuriating them.
Yeah, and that was the only thing getting the crowd going. I mean, my friend who is not a Villa fan, he's not a Spurs fan either, he kept pointing at a 12th man's sign on the halt and go, what the fuck's that? There's like, there's nothing from them. And I said, yeah, well, there's a bit of a debate about the atmosphere here, but it's kind of, that's Premier League football for you nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get worse because prices are going up despite what's happening on the pitch. And that's going to freeze out a lot of young fans because their prices are potentially going up the most.
And it's, as always with Villa, their PR timing is predictably disastrous when you go and lose a game in the manner Villa did today, and everyone will walk away from the ground going, why the fuck am I paying X percent more to watch no progression?
Yeah, that's just divided that waiting list by two.
Yeah, just I'm back on Gerrard. My main problem with Gerrard is the sort of like the disconnect from what you see on the pitch to what he says before and after the games.
Yeah.
Because looking at Gerrard, I don't know whether it's an age thing, being close in age to myself. It's like he seems to look at the game the same way I do. I mean, he clearly identifies what's wrong and what has happened. I mean,
he's just not getting a tune out of him, and he has to.
Yeah, he goes, the second half, Spurs made the game all about our back line. I mean, anybody could have told you that. So you're looking at it going, yes, good, Gerrard, that's exactly what I said. And then you just think to yourself, well, you didn't change it. You didn't do anything. I mean, Konsa, I don't want to single him out, but he had a stinker. He had an absolute stinker the whole game.
Again.
I mean, you could have hooked him for Chambers at halftime. I mean, is he going by the law of averages that if he makes, you know, two mistakes, that's his mistakes for the day done? He's not going to make any more. Well, we've seen that before. Villa players can make any amount of mistakes in 90 minutes. You just look down the team and go, well, he's identified a weakness there. He's called it out after the game. Well, why is the same weakness there the next week? I mean, play.
Yeah, this is my argument about Gerrard. Yeah. It comes to a point when it was kind of the undoing of Smith in the end as well. Whether it's the team personnel, I don't know. But when you're seeing the same mistakes week in, week out, and they're not being rectified, that's the sort of shit where owners on the other side of the world are looking at it, going, "Hang on a minute. what are you doing here?" Day in, day out, is there a fundamental reason why you aren't getting a tune out of what you've got? Lest we forget, the vast majority of this squad were a team that was sat in sixth position in the table last season at Christmas. These are not bad players, but is it a bad team? Yes. Collectively, it's not working.
Phil, didn't you say this in your good, bad and ugly article on the website?
Yes, the broken record technique.
The broken record, yeah.
Just carrying on the same thing again. And the only thing it comes down to is he just doesn't trust the players that aren't on the pitch enough to change it. I mean, that's it's a very short-sighted way of looking at football management. It's like, right, I'm in here. All this rubbish that you've bought isn't anything to do with me. I'll limp on to the end of the season and get in who I want. I mean, it's not a sustainable way to run a football team.
To me, that's somebody who has fuck all empathy. I'm sorry to say it so bluntly. Fuck all empathy with a club in the level that Villa are at. It's someone who's going, well, I've been at fucking Liverpool my whole career. We're challenging at the top. I've been at Rangers, which it's a different wicket up there. It's a different kind of pressure. But fundamentally, you've got the best resources in that division by quite some way. He's come to Villa and it's like, wow, this is a, you've said it numerous times, David, this is the hardest gig he'll probably get because the expectation is high, the resources he's got are high, but you've got to get a tune out of the collective and he's not.
The aims of Villa as we stand is to be the best of the rest outside that top six. And then you reassess the situation and then the plans are, how do we break into that top six? So that's where we're at. And to be honest, they're throwing enough money at it.
They're doing all the right things off the field, aren't they?
Up until one point, it was Watkins that was our record signing. And then we suddenly bought three players for, I think, more money than Watkins. So we've gone up a level in terms of spending. So in terms of being the best of the rest, we're certainly financially throwing money at it as well. But I'm saying, you know, as we've just said, I don't think Gerrard, even if, you know, if you haven't got the players in to play your system, whatever that is, and we in previous podcasts have doubts whether that's actually going to work in the Premier League. It's one thing working in the Scottish Premier League where your opposition is not as good. And I mean, immediately, was it last, in the, I think it was in the Mom's Patreon podcast when we were in one of the podcasts, we extra podcasts we did, where we're talking about what a, you know, Villa essentially need, and we're talking about the midfield. And I said, I don't think that missing link of the defensive midfielder isn't the missing link. I said we need two bigger, more physical, all-round number eight midfielders to either play at the same time or, you know, basically enhance the matchday squad
as well. We need an engine room.
Yeah. Seriously, to give ourselves some traction in any game against whoever, it doesn't matter what kind of profile of team you're actually playing, whether it's one of the top four powerhouse teams or a team where those, say, two midfielders can control and dictate against the lesser teams.
Yeah.
And we're talking of a decent level. And because you looked at that midfield and even my friend who had never seen Villa before said that, you know, why are Villa players all smaller than the Spurs ones? And it does come across 90 minutes. It impacts.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, do you use like a boxing analogy? Villa are just like, they like have a glass jaw. That's, I mean, they've all this fancy footwork and throwing all the punches and everything else. But all another team needs to do is just wait and like, right, hit them once, bang, legs are gone, Villa are on the back foot, on the ropes, and that's it, just gone.
Yeah, let's leave it there. I wanted this to be a shorter podcast just because of the time restraints in terms of getting it out. But we will be back with a main show in the next couple of days. In the meantime, please do subscribe to AstonVilla.wtf, which is actually a newsletter, but it's also kind of a blog on its own. It's kind of my personal blog. I've just had enough of just like the whole clickbait culture and all the kind of social media farts that always Villa farts that pop up, and it's just a way of cutting through the bullshit and giving you the kind of real issues and what's kind of going on behind the scenes. So the next one will no doubt talk a little bit about what Christian Perslow was saying in terms of expectations and also the summer window, etc., and a little bit more of a sprinkle of information about the North Stand expansion, which the first edition of AstonVilla.wtf was all about, which all checked out, by the way.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was alpha. Is it alpha or canon information? What's the terms that the kids use nowadays? Canon? Alpha?
Yeah, canon's probably good.
Alpha's kind of a crypto thing, while canon's more of a, is it a gaming, like film, or lore as well? That's another. Anyways, please do follow the podcast on whatever app you are using, because that will give you a notification for when the next main show pops, which will be midweek sometime. And in the next main show, I'll also do the new My Old Man Said patrons who have signed up in the last week or so. So shout out to those people in the next show. And if you want to be included and also get access to the up and coming extra podcasts that are coming out, and join us in Match Club for the Leicester game, please do consider becoming a patron by going to myoldmansaid.com and clicking on the patron link there. It's on the menu bar. If you're on a mobile device, just go to those three lines in the corner and click there, and it should be popping up there. And don't forget, do subscribe to AstonVilla.wtf as well. Any final words, gents?
Sums up the season, didn't it? Yet again, loads of positives, but undermined by shooting ourselves in the foot.
Undermined by a glass jaw.
Yeah.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.